Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. Good morning and happy Thursday. No, it's Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. This is our Wednesday edition of the Dad Up Radio Show. And if it is Wednesday, it is
intellectual mental health.
It is mental health or intellectual day for dads. For those of you who might be thinking, what on earth are we talking about? Every day of the week, this program focuses on one aspect of the five tires that are on our figurative cars. Mm-hmm. And we encourage our fathers to be strong and to work on their S, which is their spiritual lives, on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we look at the physical health and well-being of our men. That's the P in spies. On Wednesdays, today, we're looking at the intellectual / mental health. On Thursdays, we look at the emotional well-being of men and dads. And on Fridays, we look at the social life and social well-being of our fathers and father figures. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about how we handle our emotions, especially as men and as fathers. Today, we have a special guest in the house, and we're so grateful to have him. You have heard him twice already because he talked about his struggle with cancer and how God has healed him and continues to heal him despite the remnants of that dreaded C there. Angel, welcome in.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Charles, always nice to have you in the house.
It's always great, man. I'm always excited to come in here, so it's great.
Listen, we're asking you dads and father figures out there, please, we need you to be part of this conversation. So what we are pivoting to is to discuss the questions and comments that you make to us. So we're asking you to email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org, dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org, or call or text 561-229-2379, 561-229-2379. Let's talk mental health, guys. I think for the most part, when you hear, well, I know that's how I used to think. When you hear the word mental health, you're thinking of people who have, they're crazy. They need to see some shrink or something like that, which is really weird because if I talk about my dental health or my physical well-being, nobody sees me as odd. But yet if I say I need to have a mental health day, they're thinking, ooh, what's wrong with me?
There's always a negative connotation to it.
Yeah, especially for the men.
Especially for the men. And we either keep it in or we hide it or we explode. It seems to be one of those extremes. So let's talk about mental health today. Today I'm going to be like challenging you here, guys. When you were growing up, one of our co-hosts, Bill, mentioned when I told him that apart from any other titles that I wear, I love being a dad. That's my sort of biggest achievement. He said, well, before I became a dad, you were a son. So let's talk. What sort of son were you when you were growing up, Charles? Were you an angry son? Were you a level-headed son, even keel? What sort of son were you?
No, I was pretty much even keeled because my dad was a strong, very strong presence. He's a policeman. And I know sometimes you have the negative connotation with PKs, either pastor's kids or policeman's kids. But no, he made sure that for whatever reason, he always made sure I was even keeled. Because just to give you a background, when I was born, he said I was going to be a big man. I don't know how, but so he worked on that at that time, because there was times where I was bullied when I was, because I was a small, skinny child. But then when I hit my growth spurt, I did have in mind that I wanted to get back at some of those guys. I didn't, thank God, because when you're my size and you're angry, you tend to be a little bit stronger and you're a little bit out of control. So thank God I did have that control, and that even keel part came back.
What sort of son were you, Angel? With that sort of name, you probably were an angel. But let's hear that.
that's the furthest from where I
really
was.
Tell us.
I was one of those kids. I was an explorer. I would leave in the morning and just go out and just explore the city and do all types of things, and then come back for dinner. When the lights came on is when you had to come home. That was my rule in our house. And I was just all over the place. I would go fishing. I would go into the woods. I was kind of a troublemaker, you know, just getting into stuff, going into job sites, you know, and try to figure, you know, get into the equipment. Yeah, I was bad. I wasn't prison bad, but I was pretty
active. We'll
active.
Call it
yeah,
active.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We'll say, yeah. Well, I hear that's the story they told me, that when I was growing up, I was rather mischievous. And Charles, I'm sure you'll find that hard to believe.
No, not quite as hard as you think.
Hey. So I was the last of 12. Oh, 12. Wow. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being the last of 12? I often say it was like living in a unlicensed group home. Try imagine living in a home with 11 other siblings. But I learned some things from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Survival skills.
Well, hold on. So the clothing hand-downs? I mean, you got like the 12th version of it.
I know, man. But it was also an advantage, because many times when things came in that couldn't fit them because they had grown up too big, I would get it brand new because they couldn't fit into
it
anymore. But I think that impacted how the sort of man that I grew up to be. And we want to talk about how your being a son impacts the sort of man that you are. And now that we are all dads, we need to be mindful that the kids that we grow up, the kids we have, look at us and see how we handle things. Let's say, for example, we're driving and somebody cuts us off. How we respond to that, the child in the back seat or the front seat sees that. If there's a conflict, the inevitable conflict between mom and dad that happens in any relationship, how does dad handle it? When dad gets bad news about a job that he loses or a loved one dying, how do we deal with it? I often say that the cat and the dog and the child, when dad pulls up in the driveway, gives an indication as to what sort of dad is coming that day, because we set the tone in our home. So let me ask you, when you were growing up, did you learn from your dad how to handle fear or anger or frustration or disappointment? Where did you learn your coping skills from as a son? Was it from dad?
Me personally, I think it was a mixture of dad and others around me. I think I've only seen my dad cry once, and it was an uncle who was in a coma, and we were driving to New Jersey, and I just remember him crying, and that was the first time I ever saw him cry. And then, and then the relationship with my dad and my I have two younger sisters, and the relationship that he had with them was, you know, like if they brought a boy to the house, he would always like, oh, that boy's no good. You know, he can't, you know. And so those things I learned and kind of did something opposite with that. I mean, at least with my daughter, and we can talk about that more when we get down that road. But yeah.
Yeah, with my dad, he, for a long time, he was the sole breadwinner. And I'm one of five. I was right in the middle. I had two ahead of me and two behind me. So he worked very hard, and a lot of, as a policeman, sometimes he did doubles. So it was an unwritten rule when Dad was home and in the room that we had to stay quiet because he was on edge just from working so much. And if we made too much noise, he exploded. We didn't take it as personal. It's like, okay, we did something to make Dad angry. And he would apologize after because he's on edge because he's doing so much because he wants to take care of his family. And as we got older, then he would actually explain more. When we were younger, we just didn't know why. But there were times when he would come home, we would all go our separate ways because we didn't know what Dad was coming home. As a policeman, we didn't know what he encountered that day. And most of the time, he didn't want to bring it home, but inevitably, sometimes it would come home with him.
Well, let's talk about that because, again, we can learn from what didn't work and fix it in our own parenting now.
Yeah.
When we have a rough day at work, you are a program manager at your workplace. When your employers rub you the wrong way or do something wrong and you are writing people up left, right, and center, and your righteous indignation, how do you cut that off and walk in through the door smiling and happy? How do you deal with that?
So my commute helps. And just my commute home, the 30 minutes really helps of like decompressing.
Hold on a minute. Are you saying in good traffic?
In bad traffic? No, in good traffic is 30 minutes. In bad traffic is about 45. Sometimes I take the back roads too. If it's a bad day, I'm going to do the 45 just because. But time to decompress helps immensely. Like you mentioned, you know, when my dad came home, it was the same thing. Everybody was like on edge. Mm-hmm. What dad are we having today? Is it going to be the angry dad or the happy dad? And or is he going to be talkative or not talkative? Right. And in my house, when my dad did not talk, it was like, all right, he's pissed off. He's pissed off about something. So let's not rattle the chain or the cage a little bit. So
we have a responsibility now to make sure that that atmosphere doesn't exist.
Right.
You know,
right.
The uncertainty.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to say something on air here that, quite honestly, I've never said before. So this might be that my family might be surprised. But there was a time when I would come home from work and very tired. And I would sort of just say, hi, hello, and go straight to lie down and rest because I want to be ready, fresh, and come back out and interact with the family. And for a time, I thought I was doing a good thing, but it didn't go down very well because the complaint was that you at work with people all day and come home, and rather than talking to us or interacting with us, you go straight to bed. So what I did, gentlemen, and I'm making it clear here for the first time, if I left work, say, 5, which was unusual, but I'm just using 5, I would stop at Walmart, wherever it is, put my seat back, grab half an hour and an hour sleep, and then straight home after, I'd be fully awake and fresh. And honestly, it worked. I'm just saying it now for the first time. Seriously, that worked for me because I was depleted emotionally and otherwise, and I just wanted to sort of rest and then get back out, but it didn't go down nicely. So my trick was, okay, before going home, find a safe place, sleep, set my alarm, make sure I didn't sleep there the whole night, and then go home. So for me, that worked. And I think we need, as dads, to develop strategies to not deny how we feel. An angry, a terrible day, frustrating day, but find a way to cope. So that when we go home, we don't dump on our families or we don't seclude ourselves and therefore they want to find out what sort of dad is it today. In fact, very often I can tell if my daughter calls me in a minute or less, I can know where the conversation is going, whether it's a good one or a bad one. So the same thing with us. If you call home just before reaching home, they can get a clue what sort of dad is coming home.
Yes,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
What is your coping? Well, you said driving for you.
Yeah.
Driving.
Okay. Yeah.
That is interesting because if driving for you, I know driving can make me upset, let alone.
I'm not an angry driver.
But
that's
goes,
the problem. Yeah, no, that's the problem. If somebody cuts me off, I'm not. I'll honk the horn and be like, all right, keep going, you know, but I'm not an angry driver.
No, I'm not an angry driver either. I am privileged to be retired right now, so I don't have to go to a job. But I used to have, and it's probably still in the house somewhere, I used to have a basketball. You know, being a basketball player, I always had a basketball around. And if I had a frustrating day, I would go, it would be in the garage, I would get it, and I would just smack it between my hands. Just to whatever frustrations I had, I would put it on that basketball. Sometimes it would be 5 minutes. It's been as long as 20 minutes, depending. And some when my wife would hear me smacking that basketball, it's like, uh-oh, he's had a bad day. I better leave him alone for right now. Once I'm finished and I go into the house, I've relieved all of that pent-up frustrations. I've put it on that basketball. I've left it in the garage so I don't take it in the house. That was my coping mechanism.
It's interesting because you go physical, but yeah. I'm more mental, right? So, like, what I'm saying is, I have a journal. Actually, I have it here with me. And
okay.
At night, I write in my journal.
Okay.
And that's my other coping mechanism that, you know, kind of I put it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it may have been, you know, I'm not confirming or denying that I would put whoever frustrated me, put their faces on that basketball.
Really?
You know, I'm not going to confirm or deny it.
Yeah. So there are healthy ways that we can and should deal with our emotions, and and stuffing it is not one of them.
Right.
But I think it is also important that our children see how we deal with conflict or how we deal with anger or hurt or anything like that. And I must admit, there are a few things that make me angry. And I don't think it's necessarily a good thing that you say, my child will never see me angry. I think your child needs to see you angry, but how do you deal with it, especially our boys? And I know, like you, Angel, daughters are like our thing. But let me ask you, Charles, for your sons, if they were to talk about how you deal with anger, what would they say?
Well, when it came to, especially if they've done something that made me angry, we would address it. But I always, and I was very conscious of this, I always, if I had to talk or discipline my child, I would sit down so I would be on their level. I'm 6'7", so I didn't want to be bearing down on them with intimidation, because at some point that's what my dad did. And I didn't like it until I got taller than him. It was very intimidating. I didn't want to be that dad. Yes, I'm angry, but you're not going to look up at me trembling. Now, we can sit face to face and talk and deal with what you did that made me angry. But I never want to be that intimidating dad.
Speaking of discipline and anger and punishment, and that's another conversation that we are going to have a full-length discussion on. What would you say, and I'm not trying to trick you here, I just want off the top of your head, what would you say the difference is between discipline and punishment? I know sometimes we use those words interchangeably, and sometimes, may I quickly say, as a former educator, that we can unintentionally say or do something that makes the child do something opposite to what we really want. Here's what I'm thinking. I remember my mom would say when I was accused of something, Charles, of something, like, go to your room and read. Now, if you send the child to the room to go read, now you're associating punishment and reading. Even us dads, go wash the car, go pick up the trash outside as form of discipline or punishment. Yeah. We don't want, as a social worker now, I'm speaking as that, you don't want to associate discipline slash punishment with something you want the person to learn and, I don't want to say enjoy, but do as they grew up. Going to your room or anywhere else to read, Charles, that's not a bad thing.
No,
that's something you want
me,
to encourage. Cleaning up the yard and washing the car should not be seen as something negative, as a punishment. So sometimes we need to be mindful of how we do that. And again, we're going to go into a conversation about those things. But discipline and punishment, before you answer that question, or at least give your opinion on that, let's go to, we don't have commercial breaks around here, but I want to say thanks to Jim today. Jim is the sponsor of today's show. And I want to say to you, listening audience, we are asking for three things of you. If you can't do all three, definitely choose one. Number one, we ask for your prayers. We ask for your prayers. Please pray for this program. Please pray for the fathers and father figures whom we hope to reach in our local community and within our listening audience. That's number one. Pray for us and this program. Number two, we ask for your hours. We need to have at least 1 hour of your day, of your week. 1 hour of your week. That hour we will use primarily for a program that we have called Operation Daducation. And that's when we have a father or a father figure reading to or with a child. The research has shown, Angel, that no matter how good your child's school is, no matter how great the teachers are, a child does so much better when dad reads to and or with their child. And there's so many children in our school system that don't have a father or father figure. And so your 1 hour can be used to read to and or with a child. And because of technology, you can even do that by Zoom or FaceTime. So wherever you are, you can still participate in giving us 1 hour per week. And before I go to the next one, I want to say thanks to Nuzzle Nolan Pest Control Company. Even though they are not sponsoring today's show as we speak, they are our main sponsors at the moment. I met with the owner and president of that company, and I asked him something that he said yes to, that I hope we can replicate in every community. In order to get his guys on his team, be part of what we're trying to do with our fathers, he has agreed to include the hour in the 40 hours that the guys on his team works. Can you imagine Walmart? Can you imagine Publix? Can you imagine Aldi? Can you imagine Tropical Shipping or all the other employers out there being that revolutionary? Fatherhood would be far more than just something that happens the third Sunday in June, but now becomes part of the fabric of our community. Of all the schools that I know, SAC meeting and PTA, they tend to take place in the middle of the day when not even some moms can get to, let alone dads. But if dad is able to leave his work, attend SAC for an hour, and doesn't have to worry about losing time or being fired, I think that's an amazing way to empower fathers and father figures. So that's something that we're going to be working on to get more businesses. So in addition to your praise and your hours, we're asking for your dollars. We need your contribution, your tax-deductible contribution to this program to keep this program going. Call us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. Gentlemen, we have just a few minutes left, but I want to go around and ask you, when you think of all the emotions that men tend to have and exhibit, what are the top ones that we guys seem to have and show?
Anger is right at the top.
I know, man. Rightly or wrongly so.
Yes.
Anger seems to be the thing that we show the most.
Yes.
Okay. Fear.
fear.
By the way, which is interesting because fear is the root for anger. It's mm-hmm. anger is actually a secondary emotion. We'll talk about that in the time. What about you?
Yeah, I would say the fear portion. That kind of drives the anger. I would agree with that. It's the unknown, right?
Yeah, it is.
So you get angry at yourself because you don't know or something like that.
Yeah. And of course, not spoken about a lot, but depression, that is one of those things, and therefore a lot of guys get into drinking and drugging and other sort of negative behaviors to just deal with that emotion. Well, we hope that today we challenge you men to face the emotions you feel. They're part of what makes us human beings. And deal with them in a positive way so that your children and your grandchildren can see how you deal with them in a positive way. And we don't always get it right. We don't. Mm-hmm. But what is also helpful is if we are able to say sorry to wife, sorry to mom, sorry to the child, sorry to whomever, mm-hmm. and start all over again. One final word, gentlemen, before we close.
And with you saying, being able to say I'm sorry, that I think that's powerful, because our children sometimes don't see that enough
from
men and dads, and they tend to think that we always get it right. But when you come back and tell them, look, I didn't handle that well, I should have handled it better, and I'm sorry for putting you in that spot, or I'm sorry for making you feel less than, I think that's powerful.
I think the other part of that is if you can explain the why you got angry about something, and have that dialogue with your child and saying, this is why I got angry. You know, this is the result of that action. So, mm-hmm. let's work together to make sure that we don't try to, I'll try my best not to trigger that again, but this is what prompted me to say what I said.
This is what I need from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let me just encourage you dads and father figures out there. There is nothing wrong. In fact, let me put it this way. There is something right about seeking help for your mental stresses and challenges and crisis. And I believe it's a God-given privilege that we all have to support each other and make it easier for guys to share their feelings and not feel as though they are weak or less than. In fact, quite opposite. I work in the prisons a lot, and you, Charles, you were in the prison. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a prison. You worked there. You see guys who ended up there because of not being able to handle their emotions.
Right. And when I had the chance, I would try to talk to them because they would tend to do the blame game, but I would say, okay, you have to take some kind of accountability on that also.
Yes. Recently, we had a remote control in here, and I use this as an example. If I press 1 on the remote and you're happy, and I press 2 and you're sad, I have control, not mm-hmm. you. And so if we say, you make me happier, the government makes this, then you're actually saying, I'm powerless. I'm just a puppet. They're handling. No, we have control over our emotions. And if we're losing it, there is help. Mm-hmm. There is help. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very much. And again, I ask you to be part of this movement. We're almost at the end of August, and we're far from reaching our target. We started out the 1st of August saying that we would like to have 1,000 men and father figures be part of Dad Up 1,000. I still believe we can make it. So if you're out there and you would like to become part of this movement, the Dad Up 1,000 movement, call 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561